Is from Paul's epistle to the Philippians, and they're familiar verses, chapter 4, and reading verses 4 through 7. Listen to God's word. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to everyone. The Lord is near. Do not worry about anything. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be unto God. Have you ever had a high anxiety dream? Ironically, given this morning's text, I had one last night. I dreamed that I was in an unfamiliar city to attend a meeting, and as dreams are, my two dogs were with me, one of which is deceased. I attended the meeting, but when I came out, I couldn't remember where I'd parked my car. And so we began to search all the streets around the place where the meeting had been held. We searched far and wide and couldn't find it. And compounding this, the dogs were not on leashes. And so they were constantly going different directions, and I had to corral them. And finally, we found the spot where I had parked the car, but it wasn't there. And it dawned on me that it had been stolen. And in that moment, I woke up in a panic. It was a very vivid, real dream, and I was so relieved to realize that my car was safely parked in our driveway. I don't know what that dream means. If there are any dream therapists out there or watching us on Facebook, let me know after the service or send me a message. I would be glad to know the meaning of such a dream. There's an awful lot to be anxious about, to worry about in the times in which we live. Now, granted, things are not as chaotic as they have been in the past. Goodness, if you think about what life was like in the Middle Ages, or in more recent history, the Great Depression, or World War II, these were very turbulent times. Nonetheless, there is a good deal to cause us anxiety in the times in which we live. Just this week, the Democrat-controlled House has declared that it is going to launch a formal impeachment inquiry into the president's behavior, whether or not he abused his power. And this has set Washington and the media in an uproar. The Federal Reserve has pumped billions, hundreds of billions of dollars into the economy in the last few weeks to try to bring down the lending costs of short-term loans between banks. It's called the repo market. That hasn't happened since the Great Recession. Tensions are high in the Middle East, especially following this attack by, we think, Iran against a Saudi oil refining a facility which refined 5%, I think, of the world's oil. And the list of global or national concerns could just go on and on and on, couldn't it? And even if you don't follow the news that carefully, there are plenty of causes for worry and anxiety in our personal lives, aren't there? We worry about our children and our grandchildren, about our health and our finances, about our relationships with other people. And compounding all that, we have anxieties about the church too, don't we? The declension of mainline Protestantism in our time, just this afternoon, Susan Summerall and John Summerall and I and the moderator of the presbytery, Philip Williams, will head down to Diamond Head for the final vote on whether or not that congregation will be dismissed to the Evangelical Presbyterian Church or remain in the PCUSA. And it has been a bitter conflict over these last months there, and I would certainly covet your prayers for that meeting. Well, given all of this, Paul's words to the Philippians, they seem sort of glib and superficial, to be honest. How can you say, don't worry about anything with a straight face? What do you mean, Paul? How can I not be worried about what's going on in my life, in the world, and in the church that I love? Now, if Paul had only said, do not worry about anything, we might be able to charge him with superficiality or glibness. We could say that he was a first century Bobby McFerrin who sang to us, don't worry, be happy, to a very catchy tune. But what Paul says before that exhortation and afterwards changes his words from nonchalant superficiality to sage wisdom. Paul says, right before he exhorts us not to worry, he says, the Lord is near. He's almost certainly talking about the second coming. When Christ comes again, this evil world will be done away with. That's a great hope, isn't it? There will be new heavens and a new earth, the Bible tells us, where God's righteousness is perfectly at home. And not only that, all of us will be transformed, will be changed, will become like Christ, will be free of sin. Paul and the first Christians believed that Christ would return within their generation. At least that seems to be our reading of the New Testament. And so whatever the struggles or hardships that they were enduring, they were fleeting. And so they couldn't be compared. They weren't worthy of comparing with the glory that would soon be revealed when Jesus returned. 2,000 years later, almost, we still wait, don't we? And we still entertain that great hope, although perhaps with less immediate expectation. We continue to long for the coming of the kingdom of God. We continue to long to be made into the image of our Savior. But Paul's statement, even if it is primarily about the future, is not only about the future. I think that it also has meaning for the present, too. Christ is near us now. He is forever, after all, Emmanuel, God with us. And so the presence of Jesus Christ in the person of the Holy Spirit makes all the difference in the world when it comes to worry and to anxiety. He has promised us that he'll never leave us or forsake us. You may remember that we had looked at the Holy Spirit in past weeks, and we had noted that the Paraclete, the Advocate, walks alongside us, calling to us comfort, strength, and guidance and endurance as we journey through this veil of tears, as the Psalms put it. And not only do we have Christ's presence in this life, we also have the gift of prayer. We can pour out our hearts to God in praise and petition and confession of sin and thanksgiving. We can pray with love in our hearts for God and for our neighbors. We can persevere in prayer, even when they're not immediately answered. We can persevere with gratefulness, submitting ourselves to God's goodwill, and assured that whatever happens, God hears our prayers. In everything, in every circumstance, in every anxiety-filled moment that we experience, we can let our requests be made known to God. That's what Paul says in this text. And when we do that, I think that we become a little bit more like our Savior. When Jesus was in dark Gethsemane, when his soul was deeply grieved, if you remember the story from the Gospels, he prayed. He prayed, "My Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Yet not what I want, but what you want." When Jesus hung impaled on the cross, what more anxiety-producing situation could we imagine? Even in that circumstance, he prayed. His doubts, my God, why have you forsaken me? He prayed for his enemies. Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. He prayed finally, Father, into your hands I commend my spirit. And Jesus still prays. He prays for us seated at the right hand of God. He ever lives to make intercessions for us. And not only that, the Holy Spirit also prays in us and for us. Indeed, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, as Paul says, when we do not know how we ought to pray as we ought to. The Spirit intercedes for us with sighs too deep for words. And I expect we've all experienced that at different times. So when we pray in anxious moments, in times of worry and concern, we are more like Jesus Christ, and we are more like the Holy Spirit. And not only that, there is also a powerful benefit that comes with prayer. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, the peace of Jesus, peace that the world cannot give to us, that peace, Paul says, will guard our hearts. It's as if God will place an armed guard around us. As one author said, God's peace will be an armed garrison around our hearts so that we do not fall into anxiety and to worry. We have, if you will, a personal bodyguard in this life. Bobby McFerrin, who I alluded to earlier, did speak some truth in his song. He wrote, "In every life we have some trouble, but when you worry, you make it double." And there's a good bit of truth to that, I think. So in closing, I would say to you, don't double your trouble with worry. Instead, be like Jesus. Be like the Holy Spirit. In everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Your requests about our nation, about the world, about our planet. Your requests for the church, the mainline church and our own congregation. Your requests for your children and grandchildren and maybe even great-grandchildren. Your requests for health and finances. Your requests for relationships and troubles. Let all of that mess be made known to God. And the promise that we have from Scripture is that God's peace will guard our hearts and minds in this life as we hope for and look for the life that is to come. So thanks be to God the Father for the powerful gift of prayer and the divine presence of Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit in our minds. Thanks be to God. Amen.